Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in this day.
In this day.
Oh, I'm excited about today.
Yes.
Why I'm excited? God reigns. Mm-hmm. No, as somebody says, yeah, I know God reigns. Yeah, you got to tell yourself that.
God doesn't just reign for them and them, but he reigns in your life too.
In your life. Come on, somebody. You say, okay, Pastor, I know God reigns. No, you got to tell yourself that. Mm-hmm. God reigns.
Yes, his will is greater than my feelings.
Yes.
His will is greater than what it looks like.
Yes.
His will is greater. The word of God is the final authority of every situation, every circumstance, every feeling, every naysayer. The word of God is the final authority.
Listen, one, we always say, God is in control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really? You got to say, we know God is in control. He's in control of the universe, but is he in control of your life? You need to start to say, God is in control of my life. That's it.
And first we have to surrender control.
Okay.
In order for him to be in control.
Yeah. Because, Pastor, it's easy to say God is in control, but we exclude ourselves. He's in control of everything except me.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it said before. They said, like, a little joke, little story, whatever. Yeah. They say, Jesus knocks on the door. We let him in. Mm. And then they say, okay, there's your room back over there in the back corner of the house. So we've let him in. It's in comparison to somebody who's let God in to their life. You've let him in, but you haven't given him full authority or access. You just, there's your room over there. I'll come see you on Sunday. I'll come see you on midweek. But then the alternative is to give him full dominion, to surrender the whole house to him, where he is intricately intertwined into every part, which is the original design of God. For by him, through him, all things that were made were made. And nothing that was made outside of God. So we can't just box God off for certain components of our life, but still be ripping and running in every other direction.
Yeah, it's like we have two chairs. Mm-hmm. We always set up two chairs in our life. Two chairs in our life. One for me, one for God. So you're going to invite, oh, God, come sit here. Mm-hmm. Sit right in this chair, God. I got this chair for you, God. Sit in this chair and just do your thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sit in my chair over here, and I'm just going to do my thing. Okay? So here it goes. Mm-hmm. So God come, and he sit there. And God started to work. And then he said, okay, I want to sit over here.
Oh, I remember that video. Yeah.
You understand? Uh-huh. Okay, God said, okay, I want to sit over here. I want to sit where you sit right now. That's where I want to sit. I want to reign from where you reign. I want to rule from where you are ruling. And then he says, wait a minute, God. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that, God, because I still have some stuff that I don't want to give up yet. I'm not ready to let go of these things. Because, you know, once God come and sit there, he's going to be now in control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And we don't want to let go of that steering. Real, okay? Mm-hmm. God sit in a passenger seat. And so many of us, and it's so, so funny, but we love when God sit in a passenger seat. Oh, don't we, Pastor Don? Mm-hmm. As long as God is in a passenger seat, everything is okay. Mm-hmm. When we have a problem when God sit in the driver's seat because he's going to go some road that we don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. But it's for our betterment.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't go to that road, though. We have been further this morning because it's we just human. That's all I'm saying. We are so human and we need to surrender our life every day to make it count.
Yeah, die daily.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Pastor Don.
Where do you want to pick up at? Numbers
chapter 22, and it's long. So, and if I start anywhere, you know, my key, you know, then the Lord opened Balaam, you won't understand anything. So I want to start from verse 1. Okay. Always love to start. Where do I start? The beginning. Where do I end? At the end.
Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 1. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho.
Listen to this story. You need to read this. I will encourage. No, I'm not telling you to read it. But I'm going to ask you, please, pretty please, read Numbers 22. It will bless you. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 2. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because there were many.
Yeah.
And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed."
Watch this. Go ahead.
So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.' And God said to Balaam, 'You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.'"
Okay. So what did God say? Mm-hmm. What did God say here? God says, don't go. Don't curse the people because they are blessed. Mm-hmm. Can you get that make your day count, family? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good, thoughts of blessed, that holds a future." God's plan. Here's God's plan. What did Balaam does? He does one thing right. He went and asked God for the plan. See, the enemy came. He says, "Come curse these people so I can defeat them." He did one thing right. Mm-hmm. And so many times, we did the first thing right. So many times, Oh, this can preach. I feel like I'm in church preaching right now. We do one thing right. Mm-hmm. He went to God and he says, "Look, these people come up to me. They send message that I should come, go and curse them. Curse the children of Israel." And God says, what did God say? And God said, "You shall not go." Don't go. Don't go curse them. Because they are blessed already. They are blessed already. So direct instruction from God. Let's see what happened now.
So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they, And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Yeah, okay, so in verse 7, in verse 7, they had a fee, the diviner's fee in their hands. So they were trying to buy. They were trying to buy him in order to curse who they wanted cursed. They were trying to manipulate through the control of money. And then now they say, though even if I was to give them the house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. So they were trying to, a conspiracy was being birthed to try to get that, get him to do what they wanted him to do.
So they said, so he says what is right. Balaam says, even if you give me the house full of gold, I cannot, go beyond what God says. It is final. Like we say at celebration, the word of God is my what?
Final authority.
I can't go behind it.
And then it also goes back to what you teach also, Pastor, that it's never a money problem.
It's never a money problem.
It's always an obedience problem. So though they were throwing money and stuff at him, his obedience is greater than money. Our obedience is greater than money.
Come on, somebody.
Verse 19. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam that night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do.
Yes.
So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him.
Okay. So what's wrong here? Let's get what's wrong. Because he did everything right up to a point, right? So we got to find what he did wrong. And there are a lot of times we in this life journey and we do everything right up to a point. And all of a sudden, we veer off. We get it what? Like we say at celebration, we get it twisted. So don't get it twisted this morning. Don't get what God says twisted this morning. Oh, I feel like shouting. go back to it. Because he went back the second time to God to talk. He told those guys, let me go back and see what more God have to say concerning this matter. Now, we know the first thing God said concerning that matter, don't go.
Right.
Don't curse them. Because they are already being what? Blessed. I think we're running out of time. We got to pick this up tomorrow.
We want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle all this month. Pastor Beckford is teaching on building a better life. So come on out, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at 1010 Dixon Boulevard. 1010 Dixon Boulevard, Celebration Tabernacle Church, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Make your day count.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMI.
You are listening to the Morning Breath Podcast. Please enjoy today's show, hosted by a pastor on staff here at East Coast Christian Center.
All right, good day. Hello, and welcome to Morning Breath. This is your drive time, or other time, or another time, or any time. Devotion sure to jumpstart your day, morning, evening, afternoon, however you're going to get this, whenever you're going to get this. We are thankful that you tuned in. You're part of the show with us. I'm Brian.